Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here another day. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Thank God that we're here, and we thank God. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so, truly, it's a blessing to be able to be here once again to talk to you out of the word of the Lord and for you to be tuned in to Truth Ministry. So we thank God for the opportunity that we have to bring to you none other than the engrafted word of God. Like James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, word which is able to save your soul. So we got to receive it with meekness. So it's good to be here. Just like to thank God for all of our Twitter followers and listeners and friends, also all of our Blog Talk followers and friends, and also our Facebook friends and followers, and also all of our LinkedIn connections and followers. It's good to be here. So thank God that we're here. So on last week had something to come up at the last minute. Had to go out of town, but we're here on today. So we just like to keep going for a while. Every once in a while, you do have to take a break. You may have something going on, because after all, I am semi-retired anyway. So it's just a blessing to be able to be here. So in the last days, peerless times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Like the Bible said, there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so they'll be proud, boasters, covetous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. So as I just said, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So you don't want to be like that. So these are warnings that Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captains silly women laden with divers sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You don't want to be reprobate. You'll never be saved because you think wrong is right and right is wrong when you are reprobate. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking here, and this is someone referred to as a letter of death in 2 Timothy, the third chapter here. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, and hast fully and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You notice the word doctrine repeated twice. Doctrine is teaching. That's what it is. Everyone has a doctrine. They were astonished at whose doctrine? You read in the Gospels, at Jesus' doctrine or his teaching, because he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we got to fully, wholly follow after the Lord. So these were Paul's instructions to Timothy. And so he says, I charge thee there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at the appearing and his kingdom. So the quick is the alive, and we know the dead is dead. So he goes on here. This is a charge that they give us when we are ordained in that ceremony. Preach the word. That's what people need to do, is to preach the word, not making up stuff like they're doing along the way. People keep talking about the prophetic and sowing a seed and all these different things, which are no scripture for that in the New Testament time. So there is no such thing as the prophetic. We're not in the days of the prophets. I mean, they ought to read in the word of the Lord. There actually is another word you could call that in the word of God, in the New Testament church. And you read in the Corinthian church, you can find it. There's no such thing as the prophetic. God uses them in the prophetic. No, get in that word and read that word. Find out what your gift is, and serve in your local church is what you have to do in the New Testament church. So he goes on here, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering, there it is again, and doctrine. So he goes on to say, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So you notice this broadcast that you're listening to is called Truth ministry, and I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to tell the truth. And so this is the word. The word of God is the truth when it is rightly divided. That's why he said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to rightly divide it. And one of the most important scriptures in the Bible is in Nehemiah. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah 8 and 8. You got to give the sense of the word and cause them to understand the reading. So you can take a thought, but you can't do violence to the scriptures. You're going to make it mean what you want it to mean. But you can make an application out of the scriptures, but you got to give the sense of the word, not just take something and use it for your own benefit. That is not the way it goes. So he says, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, shall turn away the ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But he says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So remember I said this is a letter of death. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So this is before he went to Nero's chopping block. I have Fox's Book of Martyrs. Tells how the apostles lost their lives, that they were martyrs. And you don't make yourself a martyr, but this was appointed their death by the Lord himself, their death. Even he said Peter, he showed him what death he should die. Peter was crucified upside down. He wasn't worthy. He didn't think he was worthy to be crucified like the Lord was. They nailed him to the tree and dropped it in the ground and lifted it up. That's why he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So he says, "This I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So Ephesians 4 and 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So he's talking to the church at Ephesus. And so sometimes we do take time to do station identification, the born-again experience. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit in St. John 3 and 3. So that was all fulfilled. He gave Peter the keys in Matthew 16 and 18 and told him, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church has binding and loosing power. It means exactly what it says. So he opened up the church on the day of Pentecost. So he let them know what they had to do. They had to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the promise was, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then he testified and exhorted many other words, told them to save themselves from this untoward generation. They that gladly received this word, I believe in verse 41, were baptized. They were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. So, same thing happened in the book, the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and also in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles is when the Gentiles came in, with about 10 years later after Pentecost, when the door was opened to the Gentiles. So you got to be born again. And so that is Matthew 28 and 19 is one of the most, the translation that they made, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what the emphasis should be on, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The key is, in English, the name is of a person, place, or thing, the name singular. Father has a name, Son has a name, Holy Ghost has a name. God is not a trinity. He's not three. God is not two, but God is one. Jeremiah 10 and 10, the Lord is the true God. I mean, so many scriptures will testify to that, especially in the book of Isaiah. And that's why we're still teaching on the Godhead. There is one. I mean, just like Stephen was stoned to death, saw the heavens open and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's figuratively a figurative speech. He's not like God sitting on the throne and Jesus standing on his hand. That don't even make sense. There's only one God. So the Lord had to take on a body. And after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. Jesus is Jehovah, who has become our salvation. So is he going to put down all rule and authority? Must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, God's going to be all and in all. Zechariah, they're going to see the nail prints in his hands and in his side. Ask him a question. When did you get these? He's going to let them know. I was wounded in the house of my friends. The Jews stoned you to death, and the Romans would crucify you. So he didn't say, just like he said in the 10th chapter of St. John, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man take it. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Not take it up, but take it again. So he goes on here. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Remember, we were saying, letting you know, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and about verse 13, when it starts. It said, if we believe Jesus died, even though them which sleep in Jesus will God bring it with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. And so that's when he went on to say the Lord himself. He's not going to send Michael or Gabriel, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Remember, God is so high. He's so high. When he ascended back in the book of Ephesians, says, what is it that he descended first into the lower parts? And what is it that he that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things? I got a question. How far is far above? So the writer says God has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He's everywhere here now, there, God. He's everywhere and every place. God is not way out there in space, as we would say. But I tell you, I declare unto you that space is in God. He's everywhere here now, there, God. Somebody said they saw him walking on the wings of the wind. Nobody could walk on the sea, on the waves, or tread the waves. In the book of Job, said that God alone walk on the waves of the sea. That's why Jesus fulfilled that in the fourth watch of the night when he sent the disciples out. He went into a mountain apart to pray. He saw them toiling, and for the winds were contrary. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, that's the fourth watch of the night, from 3 to 6, they saw Jesus. He came unto them walking on the sea. They cried out for fear. They thought he was a spirit. He said, behold, it is I. Be not afraid. In the 6th chapter of Mark, the 14th or 15th chapter of Matthew, and Mark the 6th chapter, and also St. John the 6th chapter, and the 21st verse. So they saw him walking on the sea, and they received him into the boat. In St. John 6 and 21, John said, when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were at the other side, whether they went. So it is Emmanuel, God with us, is who Jesus is. So he says, he goes on here, do thou diligence to come shortly unto me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Lucas with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So this is a 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, our food for thought on today that I just, so we thank God for his word, and there is nothing like the word of the Lord. And so Israel knew that there was one God. Even Pharaoh, as wicked as he was, he knew just that there was one God. I mean, he made some ridiculous, arrogant statements when he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And Moses went unto him and told him, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." And so when God sent those plagues, he'd say, "I'll let you go." He said, "Bless me also," one time. So, I mean, he knew that there was one God. And also, most definitely, the patriarch David knew that there was one God. And so even back in the days of Abraham, he wasn't known by the name Jehovah, but he was known by the name of God Almighty. In Exodus 6 and 3, he said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I was known by God, known unto them by God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So then after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah any more in the Holy Writ, any more in the Bible, but the name is Jesus. You see Lord, you see Lord God. And I think it's something to that, some people. But the thing of it is, just like Jesus told the Jews, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. So you got to know that he's the one. His name is not Allah. Allah, that is a lie, is what that is. But his name is Jesus. That's an insult to call him some make-believe stuff like that. But there's only one God. You ain't got to bow toward the east or none of that. But you can call him by his name. His name is Jesus. And the devils will come out. The devil's got to take a back seat when you call him by the name of Jesus. That's why that man said, "Paul, I know," he said, "I adjure you by the name of the God in whom Paul preaches." And that's what that devil said, "Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you?" So, I mean, you can't just use his name. You can't reason with a devil. You got to cast a devil out. You don't lay your hands on nobody to cast out no devil either. You don't impart, you don't want that to come on you. But you do, just like Jesus rebuked them. You read off in the Gospels, that they said, "We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time?" They knew what he was. He rebuked them. He said, "Hold your peace," which means really right down to earth in our words is to shut up and come out of him. So Jesus, and they came out too. Some people were foaming and laying down on the ground, but the devils knew he was Christ. We know you. Are you the Holy One of God? Are you come to torment us before the time? So one time he told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known, because they knew who he was. And that's why James said, James 2 and 19, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well." He says, "The devils also believe and tremble." They know, they believe there's one God, and they tremble. They know it. But the devil is a liar, and he's a father of lies. And there's no holy trinity. That is an unholy lie. There's no two gods or three gods, but there's only one God, and it's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. So he is the head of the church, which is his body. So he came the Son of God came from the woman. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4 and 4. Galatians, Luke 1 and 35, that holy thing, talking about Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be, the operative word, called the Son of God. So that's why he was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's why the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So even when you going through the book of Hebrews like we are now, he is called the apostle of our profession. And Peter calls him, he said he's the bishop of our souls. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the great high priest. He is the one that came to give his life, because he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So today we're going to get, and we're still talking about the new covenant, the high priest. So in the book of the Hebrews, I believe we left off, and we were in the eighth chapter. We kind of moved around a little bit to make the point about him, once in the end of the world, entered into the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he was the sacrifice. He was the God who received the sacrifice also. It's like we said in the book of the Revelation, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. How that John wept because he couldn't find nobody in heaven and earth or under the earth to take the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. Lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. In the midst, notice, it's in the throne. So he came and took the hand out of him that sat on the throne. In other words, he took it from himself. Nobody was worthy to open the seals, or to loose the seals thereof, or to open them. So God himself shall give you a sign. That's what Isaiah said. Behold, the Lord shall, Emmanuel, is which being interpreted, is God with us. So this is why he went on, he says, the Lord shall bring forth a virgin, the virgin shall bring forth a child, shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So it's going to give you a sign, is what it is. I just don't want to flip back and go there. So, and we know in Isaiah, the ninth chapter, so unto us a son is, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's 33 years later. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. He goes on, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So that part hasn't come to pass yet, when the government is going to be upon his shoulders. So that's why sometimes people, they don't understand. You, it opens, like I said, sometimes it opens up like a book. There is so much greed in the world. And you hear me go back to it. So this is why the Bible said precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So this is the way that God's word is. We have to pay very close attention to repetition. You got to get it. Too many people are in denial. We are not going to get out of debt. I'm talking about the United States. How many trillions of dollars the deficit? I guarantee you we're not going to get out. we're not going to get out, not in this time. It, the economy is going to boom and all that. When that Antichrist, who is the son of perdition, who is the devil incarnate in a man, when people are going to have to take the mark of the beast, they can't buy or sell, in the 13th chapter of Revelation, save or accept, they take that mark. Then they're going to realize 3.5 years later, in the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So in other words, it's a mystery, some of the things that people are doing. So he says that mystery is already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Talking about the church, talking about the prayers of the people of God, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the sword of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose working is after the working of Satan, with all deceivableness and lying wonders of them which receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And he goes on, to this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They didn't have no pleasure in God, but in unrighteousness. So at times I always make the statement that God is not playing. You think it's bad now? Children, they can't get a hold on these shootings in the school. There was just one in Las Vegas the other day, Monday, I believe, whatever day that was. And there was another one. Someone killed a school teacher that I just heard of today. So it's violence in the land like it was in the days of Noah. Man's thought was only evil continually. That's why the Lord had Noah to build that ark. Peter says, few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. He said, the light figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven. Angels and authorities are made subject unto him. So he's talking about they were saved by water. Water saves us now, just like I just mentioned. You have to be baptized, not sprinkled, but you have to be buried in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. That's why in the 6th chapter of Romans, he says we are buried with him by baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We too shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, nor that the old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. So you got to die to your old self. That's why the writer said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has committed unto us the words, the ministry of reconciliation. That's why he says, we beseech you in Christ's stead. We're in his stead, the church. Be ye reconciled to God. Remember, we're the members. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So we're continuing on here in the book of the Hebrews. So as we left off, and we had used another scripture, we skipped over into the 9th verse to make a point, how he offered himself. But today we're still talking about the high priest. He is a merciful high priest, and also the new covenant. So he goes on here, and now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. He's talking about Jesus. For if he were on earth, You should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Remember, he was in the mount. God showed him the pattern how to make the tabernacle. But the Hebrew writer says, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Remember, you have hope, you got to have a promise with hope. But remember the key word, if you've been listening and going along with these lessons, the key word in the book of Hebrews is that one word, better. So there's a saying, they said, good becomes better, better becomes best. So that's the way that we should be. Our man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So what you see, like somebody said, it's not me you looking at, it's my house. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is the tabernacle. My body is the house of God. So that's why I said, any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. So in other words, that's why when you're born again, you don't have desires. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. You should not have a desire to drink and smoke and all that. You got power over that. You know, you don't, like people say, years ago, there was a lady that used to do my taxes. Sometimes her husband would be there when I'd go over there. Sometimes he wouldn't. I'd pick up the taxes anyway. So she made mention when we were all friends, her husband, and my late wife. Those two are gone now, too. Her husband died back in the 90s, and she just died the day after my late wife passed. But anyway, point being, she made mention to me one time. She says, doesn't that bother you? Somebody's having a beer and you can't have one? And I didn't want to start preaching to her. She knew how I was in my past life. But the point being is, when you're born again, you don't have a desire. I know what a story is. If I wanted some liquor, I wanted some beer, I wanted some wine, but I have no desire. No desire for it. I'm a new creature in Christ, and I have been for 37 years, since August the 11th of 1976. I've been lied on, and all kinds of things have happened. Of course, that comes with the territory, just like it did with Jesus. Long as a lie is a lie, that's all that matters. You can't stop people from lying. That's what liars do. They lie. Adulterers, they do what they do. Fornicators, they do what they do. Murderers, they do what they do. People sin, and that's the whole point of the gospel, is to save men and women, boys and girls, to save souls, is why he gave his life. And that's what the gospel is about. We're trying to reach souls, point them in the right direction. We're planting seed, and we're planting the word of the Lord, not money. Seed is not money in the New Testament church. So we go on here. He says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. So we made mention about that word better, key word. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place been sought for the second covenant or a testament or a covenant or an agreement. Is what that is. So it couldn't work. So what the law could not do, and is that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the book of Romans, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be revealed, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's why I said you have to elevate your mind. Like, people think there's more. because I'm not crazy. It's, I can see, and I'm not bionic, like I told some guys one time at General Motors. I'm not bionic, and I'm not blind. That was impromptu when I made that statement. So we can see, so your mind has to be in the right place. Like Jesus says, you look on a woman and lust after her, you already committed adultery with her in your heart. So that's not saying that, like someone said one time, if somebody's an attractive woman or a nice-looking woman, you can say that. Your heart got to be right. Thing of it is, nowadays, people are imagining, looking under people's clothes in their mind, imagining. I mean, no, your sister is your sister, or a woman is a woman. You're not blind. Your heart has got to be right in the sight of God, and you don't have to lust after a person. You can have a platonic relationship, and your heart is right. So that's what people don't understand. And you can be a man and be a single man, not married, and have the victory, not sleeping around, not fornicating, not running after every skirt, every female. Your mind and heart can be right. No, you're not blind. Only, like they say, only one will mess you up. I mean, this is a good one, and that's the one you like. So in other words, you know, even like when I was a little boy, if when we start liking girls and girls start liking boys, you know the one you like. She knows there's a connection, you know, as far as that part goes. So the whole point being, that's why he said to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. So that's why you have to have your heart right, is what you have to do as a child of God. That is definitely, thank God for that, that your heart can be right, and you won't have to be condemned because you're not walking after the flesh, is the point being. This is why that he came. So that covenant was, they couldn't keep the law, is what I made reference to. I don't want to get off, but there's so much you can inject as you are going along the way. They couldn't keep the law because it was weak through the flesh. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. So that's why he said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he came to fulfill the righteousness of the law. So that's why in the 8th chapter of Romans, so he said the law couldn't do what it was weak through the flesh. God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, so he's in a body, condemned sin in the flesh. He had the victory that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. So that's why your mind has to be right. You got to see. So that's, you have to have vision. So he says we don't look on the things which are temporal, or the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's why he was talking about Moses, saw that he was a proper child. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, didn't enjoy the presence of sin for a season. All those patriots and all, they, in other words, he went on to say that they saw him who was invisible. That's what you got to see, the big picture. That's got to be the proper perspective. You got to see it through the eyes of faith. So faith come by hearing, Romans 10 and 17, and hearing by the word of God. That is said that way in that scripture. Faith. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to have faith. Like he said, they said, Lord, increase our faith. So he said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, it should obey you. So like someone said that's just mustard seed faith, that's little faith. No, faith is faith. The point being, as someone said, when he said, have if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can't even see it. But the point being is, if you have that much faith and no doubt, that much faith and no doubt. So that's why the word didn't profit them. We read earlier, talking about Israel, earlier in the book of the Hebrews, says the word didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. So you got to mix it with faith. So he says, the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. These words here you can read in the book of Jeremiah. So he goes on here, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That he saith, the new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So that's what we got to do too, even with thoughts and everything. Let it go. That's why he says, Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why he goes on to say, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, whatsoever things are pure and honest and good report and all these, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we got to do. You got to let the past go. So he says here in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, so we know that he is a great, our merciful, great high priest. So we kind of read some of the scriptures out of this particular book. But verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. This is in Old Testament. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot, had manna, and Aaron's rod that buddeth, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particular. Now these things were thus ordained. The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and then for the heirs of the people. Remember I was saying back in the Old Testament, he had to take the blood in of goats and heifers and birds and all that stuff that he had offered for himself first, then for the heirs of the people. But he had to be right that he died not when he went in there. So that's why they put bells on him and a rope on the high priest, not the priest. This is the second tabernacle. But the high priest, they tied the rope around him and the bells. And so if he died, he didn't go in there right and he died, they had to pull him out. You can't go in there too. You would die too. That's the way it was back then. So in other words, the Holy Ghost signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time when present, then present, in which we offer both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. This is back then, remember now, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Here it is. That word but changes everything. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A question. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So he goes on to say, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Remember, I was saying that on last week. For a will, for a testament or a will is of force, a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water, scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you, of the Testament, excuse me, not the New Testament, saying, this is the blood of the Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So here it is right here. And almost all the things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So you gotta, the blood had to be shed. So this is, and the blood is in the name of Jesus. So you're not baptized. That's why he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the blood is in the name of Jesus. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So he goes on, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things to come, of the things in the heavens, should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. We know our time is almost gone. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Remember I said he was the priest, and he was the God that accepted the offering also. Not yet that he should offer himself. Notice, often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So in other words, he did it one time. He don't have to do it no more. Verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So this is why, as you go on here, the writer said, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Because he's talking about forsaking not the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, as much as you see the day approaching, but exhort one another while it is called today. So in other words, time is winding up. You need to get the word of the Lord. Your local church need to be telling you that the Lord is soon to come. You can see all the signs of the time. So he's not going to die anymore, but he's died once and for all. There's not going to be no more sacrifice for sin. So for remission of sin is for sinners. That's why you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. But confession of sins is for the people of God. That's why in the letters it is written, if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we, that's not everybody, that's talking about born-again believers, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is talking about those that have sin. So if you commit sin, so if you, he that committed sin is of the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So in other words, if you make a mistake, you get up and get yourself clean, confess, and run for your life. But if you keep on practicing sin, then there's a problem. Because this seed is remaineth in you, you cannot sin. So in other words, you're not going to sin. You're not going to have the desire to sin when you are born again. You're going to want to walk right. You're going to want to talk right. You're going to want to live right. You have power. That's why he let them know, you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. So you're born again. You have the power. So this is why we thank God for the better promise, the better covenant built upon better promises. So he was the prophet. And so this, and then that's another thing that's important. No, our time is gone. He is the prophet that they wrote about in the Old Testament. He is the priest that ever lived to make intercession. And he shall be king, which in his times he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.